I have several verses I want to share in the message today. And I thought about how to try to cut some of them out. and I don't know how. So I'm just gonna share them. That would be available if you want them. How about that? And then today, Lord willing, this afternoon, I'll just take my notes, put them on the website so you'll have them as well. All right. Would you join me once again in the book of Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And we'll make our confession here in just a moment to give you a chance to get there again. Today will be the last message in this series. I didn't know I was going to go this long. I thought I might get three messages, maybe four out of it. So today is the seventh. But it's just been such a blessing to me. And so I'm so thankful. I'm still going through it on Wednesdays and hearing your input and maybe what stands out to you, having your questions, is a blessing to me. So I thank God for that. Thank God for his word. So Proverbs chapter 8, would you join me? The words on the screen as we make this confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 8, I begin reading in verse 17. Again, we've been for those of you, maybe you're just coming in or joining online, we've been seeking God for his wisdom in our lives through the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is a book of contrast, wise and foolish, righteous and unrighteous, moral, immoral, diligent and lazy, thrifty and spendy. All right. Proverbs 8:17, we read these words. This chapter is like it personifies wisdom. It takes wisdom and almost makes wisdom a person who speaks to us. And it says, verse 17, I love those, wisdom, love those who loves her, loves me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. So God's wisdom is a valuable treasure that we're to seek diligently. And this is, the scripture goes on in verse 18, it says, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. And then 19, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Here's the title of the message today, wisdom is better than money. And you might not agree with that, especially if you have a pressing financial need, I get it. But if you just give me these moments of your time, I hope that you will see it for yourself from God's word. Wisdom is better than money. Again, wisdom in the scripture means skills for godly living. And that's what I hope to focus on, how we can take this truth and live it out. It's not just something that we talk about. It's kind of, you know, spiritual and pie in the sky or anything like that. It's practical. It's livable. But we're not born knowing this, so we need to learn. And that's why we seek God and we seek him for his wisdom. I want to go back to that verse where it says, verse 18, it says, riches and honor with me, enduring. Would you say enduring? Enduring riches and righteousness is not just temporary. Enduring riches and righteousness lasts throughout time and eternity. Let me pause there just a moment on righteousness and then we'll move on. Because righteousness means right standing or right relationship with God. Righteousness is a pure gift of God's grace. We could never earn God's righteousness. We never deserve, we never buy it or anything even along that line. God's righteousness is based simply on faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of his sinless son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And this is what the Bible tells us very plainly in Romans chapter 10. If you want to write it down, let me read it to you. You can stay right there in Proverbs. Romans chapter 10, two verses, verses 9 and 10. the scripture reads this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, that's the key, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might be, not have to hope, you will be saved. And then verse 10 explains, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. See, I can believe something in my head and it's just information. It may not affect how I live, but what we genuinely believe with our heart does affect how we live. And when we believe with faith in our heart in the word of God and who Jesus is, what he did for us, the Bible says that with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, would you look at verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 8? Proverbs 8:20. I, speaking of wisdom, traverse, or I lead in the way of righteousness. So it's not just righteousness that we receive, it's righteousness that we receive and then live out. So again, I traverse or lead the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. So righteousness, I'll say it this way, the wisdom of God's word and God's spirit lead us in the way of righteousness, which includes the wise use of money. This is what the scripture says in chapter 10, Proverbs 10, 16. Again, I'm just gonna give you a few verses here. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 16 says, the labor of the righteous leads to life. The wages of the wicked lead to sin. But do you see how it comes back to our state, our heart, as to how we use the money and what we would use it for? One of Jesus' most popular sermons is called the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6. Again, I'm gonna just give you these verses. You can write them down or I'll put them on a website for you. Jesus says this, Matthew 6, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That's not saying we shouldn't save and plan for the future. In fact, it's at all. Verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then verse 21 is really the key. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Would you say that with me, the words of Jesus here in verse 21? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what Jesus taught is that our heart is linked to our treasure, and our attitude toward money and possessions reveals our passion and our priorities. So our attitude toward money and possessions reveals our passion and our priorities. And honestly, these next two verses seem almost out of place a little bit to me. Let me skip them and come back. Verse 25 says this, therefore, I say to you, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. That Greek word hate can mean to despise, but it just also means to love less. So we have to choose. I'm gonna have a greater passion and love and allegiance to one or the other. So he says, we'll either hate or love one, love less, or else he will be loyal to one and despise or lightly esteem the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He didn't say you can't have them. But in the Bible, service is linked to worship. We can't worship and serve God and mammon, which represents money and riches. But now let me go back to the verses I skipped because it's still talking about money. Verse 22, Jesus said, or attitude toward it, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, or what should be light, how great is that darkness? Remember we sing a song that says, open the eyes of my heart. That's based on a scripture in a prayer in the New Testament. But let me just give you a couple of verses here about the eye, because the eye represents our perspective and our reception of the light of truth. That's where it's important. Our eye represents our perspective, how we see life and things, but also our reception, open the eyes of my heart, reception of spiritual truth and light. Let me give you a couple of verses here in Proverbs. Again, I didn't do this for sake of time. Let me just call them off to you, okay? The Bible says in the Proverbs, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. That's chapter 22:9. I'll just give it to you real quick. 22:9. Generous eyes blessed. And then one more. Proverbs 28:22 says this. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. So again, wisdom is better than money. Would you say that with me? Wisdom is better than money. And I believe there are multiple ways. I'm just gonna share two. One I'm just gonna mention and focus on that second one in the time that we have. But this is so important. It's our eye, our attitude toward God, toward life, money, and possessions, because see, materialism will block the light of truth from getting in my heart. So we won't have the understanding that we need. We won't have the wisdom we need to live it out. That's why we want to make sure that our eye is clear, is good. There's nothing between our heart and God's. Sister Michelle just shared a testimony that was unplanned about a song that ministered to her to bring her back to the Lord. And she said, there are so many things we can pursue. We have plenty, don't we? We have a lot of toys that we can pursue. And again, we thank God for his blessings, but nothing is to compete with him. We do need his wisdom to live this out. So let me give you these real quick. How is wisdom better than money? Just two of the ways that I believe. Number one is spiritually. Wisdom is better than money spiritually. Again, this is important. That's why I want to mention it. And then I'll look at the second one. Proverbs chapter 11. If you're right there, maybe in chapter 10 or so, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4 says this. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Thank God. Righteousness delivers from death. Remember, God's wisdom is accompanied by God's righteousness. And God's righteousness delivers us from spiritual death right now, which is separation from God. But God's righteousness also delivers us from physical death when Jesus returns at the resurrection. I'm all for it. Let's do all we can, take care of our bodies and our health now. I believe that's wise. But one day they're all gonna wear out. But if we're in Christ, we got new models coming. Thank God. Thank God. Ecclesiastes 7:12 says this as well. Ecclesiastes 7:12, wisdom is a defense as money is a defense, like a protective. But the excellence or the advantage of knowledge is that, and this really stood out to me, wisdom gives life to those who have it. See, God's wisdom gives life. Money can't buy me life. What do they say? You can't buy me love either. Might be able to rent it for a while, have some friends if you got money. But thank God for wisdom, because wisdom is life-giving. I hope you're seeing that wisdom really is better. And I believe this too. Again, there are multiple ways I believe wisdom is better than money. But money and possessions without God's wisdom and a God-first perspective can cause us emotional stress and turmoil, because we got to worry about everything. And we put our security and our source in stuff that is transient and cannot last. So it can cause us emotional strife, and we probably all maybe been there to some degree or another with money and possessions without God's wisdom and God first priorities can cause strife in our relationships. And we think money is the problem. Maybe money isn't the problem. It's just a symptom of the problem. And wisdom is the root. Because if we've got God's wisdom, this is what I love about it. I'm not saying at all that we have to be like, prosperity kind of a gospel? I believe God prospered. I know he does. But I believe that movement took it a little too far. And it became the stuff became the focus. Then that's out of place. So the priority is always God. Then we use stuff, because it is possible to not have much of this world's goods, but to be rich in faith, rich in love, rich in wisdom, rich in joy, rich in grace, rich in peace, rich in So do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I believe it's better. And not only that, I believe if we have God's wisdom, then however much or little we may have, we can take it and make the most of it. That's why I believe wisdom is better than money. And now let me give you the second one. Not only is wisdom better than money spiritually, but I believe it's better scripturally. It shows that it's better financially. Wisdom is better spiritually, and wisdom is better than money financially. You say, well, you got to explain that one. I will. I'll mention three areas real quick, and that's it. Three areas. But I believe it's practical. I hope this is going to be a blessing, help. I think even if we know all of this, it's helpful to remind ourselves. Because in our culture especially, we are always hit with consumerism. It's like, you're not what you could be if you're not driving this, wearing this, eating that, going here, you know, whatever, and it's constantly. So it's good to be reminded, I believe. So how is wisdom better than money financially? Let me read you this scripture in Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20 says this. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. That word squanders means to gulp down or swallow up, and is to devour. So what that means is that it's foolish spending. In other words, it's not just, hey, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. It's foolish spending. That's what this scripture speaks about avoiding. That's why I said, regardless of our finances, God's wisdom can help us to make the most of it and make wise choices. So wisdom is better than money financial. Let me just give you three practical areas, I hope. Here's the first one, in managing. Wisdom is better than money in managing. You can think of the letters MPG, not miles per gallon. But this is the three words here. They'll start with M, P, and G, in managing. Let me read you the scripture. I know some of you are writing. I don't want to stop you. Go ahead and do that. But I'll give you the scripture, Proverbs 27, beginning in verse 23. Those of you online, I hope that you will join as well, just receive this. Proverbs 27, verse 23, because the Bible teaches that everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And we are to manage well everything that God entrusts to us. And these three areas, I've thought about this week, it's not just money. I want to be a wise manager of my time so that I have time to do what I need to do. I have time to actually rest. I have time to, I believe we have to manage our time. So money is just another area. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 27, 23. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and herds. Flocks and herds, we probably don't have too many of, but if you read the context of it, that speaks of money. It's your finances. That's all it means. So be diligent. Would you say be diligent?
Be diligent.
So we got to be diligent to keep up with it because verse 24 says, for riches are not forever. Let me pause there a second. There is another proverb, I think it's in chapter 22, that says, don't overwork to be rich. From your own understanding, cease. And be wise enough to know when to stop. For riches will certainly make themselves wings and fly like an eagle. That's literally what it says. And I had to get that in for all y'all from last week for us. How many of us have been there to say, man, I just made a deposit. Where'd it go? So we got to be diligent, wise managers. Because he goes on in verse 25 and says, but if we're diligent when the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food. In other words, if I'm wise, I'll make sure I got something to eat and food for your household or your family and the nourishment of your maidservants. So it's so important. We have to this is how I do it, because I'm old school. I learned from a ministry years ago called Christian Financial Concepts. In fact, let me put this in now. If you want some practical resources to help budget and answer questions and so forth, Crown Ministries, C-R-O-W-N, Crown Ministries is a great resource. I'm gonna tell you this, I personally support them every month. I have for years because I believe in what they're doing. But I take, when I get paid, I have an old notebook and I just write on the top of the page, this much for house, this much for car, this much for insurance, this much for groceries, this much. And that's just me. I'm old school. So there are other resources. It's not a right or wrong, but if that's helpful, then so I know when a six-month car insurance bill comes in, I didn't spend it all because I wanted to be a wise manager of what God entrusted to me. Does that make sense? I hope that's practical. So wisdom is better than money in that sense of managing and budgeting our finances to use them wisely. So we've got to sometimes take that uncomfortable step to see how much do I have coming in and how much do I have going out. But that's necessary. Number two, I believe wisdom is better than money, not only in the sense of managing, but in preparing. And I just talked about that, in preparing. So I'll give you the scripture here, Proverbs chapter 30. Let me just read it to you for sake of time. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 24. The Bible says this, "There are four things which are little on earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer." See, the ant, God placed wisdom in an ant so that when food is available, they don't just spend it all, eat it all, but they'll take some and set it aside so that when food is not coming in, they still got something to eat. Do you see how wisdom is better? It's excellent. There is an advantage to wisdom, to prepare. So it's to manage. I got to be wise managing so that I have something to prepare. So when I get paid, again, I set aside some money because the bills are coming in. I might not have it that day or that week, but they are coming in. So I've got to be wise and prepare it. And I believe not only for like the upcoming bills, if God blesses us with income above our current needs, I believe it's wise to save and prepare for future needs as well. I want to say something about debt before I give you this last one. Would you turn to Proverbs chapter 22? Because I think debt has become a lifestyle for us. And I'm not saying debt is sin. I just believe we need to be wise with it. That's all. Proverbs chapter 22, and I'll read a few verses. Let me read verse 7. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." So if we are in debt, we do, in a sense, serve that lending institution. Again, it's not necessarily wrong. Just think about this a minute, though. Let's say we buy a house for $100,000 and I pay on it 30 years. Do you know how much we'll pay for that $100,000 house? Probably $300,000. But the thing is, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, it can be a great investment, but we have to earn $400,000, so we got $300,000 after taxes to pay for the $100,000 house. Do you see what I mean about we just want to be wise? So if we're in debt, try to, hey, can I pay this high credit card off first and then maybe use some of that to go toward another one? That's all I'm saying. So we become servant to the lender. And then if you drop down to verse 26, Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 20, I'm sorry, 22, verse 26 says this, "Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety," I'll come back to that, "for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you?" That's surety. Surety is not just debt. It's a liability beyond our means. Let me tell you what happened when we started the church. We started the church years ago. We met in our apartment for a few weeks for prayer. And then during that time, a man called me. And he was the president of a local workers union here. And he said, "I hear you're starting a church. Do you need a place to meet?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I can give you access to our building on Sundays and you won't have to pay anything for it. Just keep it clean." So I met him. He handed me the key. And we did that for a few weeks. And Easter of 1998, we had our first Sunday service in the old Patrick Copeland Elementary School. And we rented for 3.5 years from the school. And we had to go through the setting up, tearing down, and doing all of that. But we blessed the school while we were there. We tried to. Not only we had to pay the, you know, someone to let us in, but if a student had a need, we took care of it. No strings attached. No student had to go without anything in those years that we met there that I'm aware of. And when the time came, the city had an ordinance that said, you've rented 6 months too long from us. You got to go. This building was available. It was available to us when we started the church at a higher price. But I didn't want to put you under the bondage of, or myself, under, we're just getting started with a church. How, I don't know what we've got coming in. And I don't want to do that. I'd rather, if we can rent and God blessed us to be able to save up some money so that 3.5 years later, when the time came, I went, the company, or the church rather, that was here, they had a bank they used. And so we went to get a loan. We had, like I said, we had a good amount to put down on the church, and then we would just make the payments. And when it came down to signing, I asked them, I said, you've got this money that we're gonna give you as a deposit, and we're gonna make our payments, but if we didn't, and you come back to get the church, we're out everything, but are you coming for trustees personally for them to be liable? They said, yes. I backed out because I knew this scripture. I went to another bank, our own bank, and they said, when I asked them that question, they said no. They probably, no, I don't want to say that. I will say probably. But see, someone with an evil eye could have said, hey, we get all this money as a deposit. We hope you miss some payments because we're going to get the church back and sell it again. But do you see what? And God blessed us that within 11 months, we paid it all off. And we've been debt-free ever since. And even through COVID and 5 people coming in on a Sunday morning, we have not shorted. I mean, we've never missed a bill. But more important to me, not one of our missionaries went without. They weren't shorted one penny. And I thank God for that. But that's what I mean. That's why it says, hey, if you don't have something to pay, they come take your bed out from under you. Let's try to avoid that. Does that, all right? Okay. So wisdom is better than money. And then finally, in fact, let me give you this beforehand. The Bible says that if we have 2 things, we're to learn to be content. You know what they are? Food and clothing. So above that is gravy. It's extra, it's a blessing. And if we can learn to be content where we are and thank God for his present blessings, it can prevent us from going head over heels in debt. Because I say, you know what? I'm gonna discipline myself a little bit. I want that thing right now and I got that credit card, but I'm already maxed out. And I'm gonna save up. I can do it in 3 months and I'm gonna buy it and I'm gonna pay it off when it's done. Wisdom. And then finally, not only is wisdom better than money in managing and preparing, but I believe in giving. And again, this applies in every area. Relationships. I learned from a man named Tommy Barnett years ago. I read something he wrote. He said, that's the key to living a blessed and happy and joy-filled life is being a giver and doing it with the right heart and attitude. I went back to church, Sister Michelle, you're talking about being saved, coming back to the Lord. I did that. When I first started working my first job, I knew it was scriptural to give the first part, to tithe, to do that. So I did it, but I wasn't really back with the Lord at that time. I did it because I believe it was right, but I didn't like it. I can't say I did it joyfully and cheerfully, but I do now because I got my heart right. That was the issue. With God, it's always about the heart. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 3:9. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to give you these last couple scriptures and one in the New Testament. We're done. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says this. honor the Lord. Would you say that with me? Honor the Lord with your possessions. Now, I've thought about this scripture. I think about all the stuff I have. How am I honoring the Lord with my possessions? Or how can I better honor him with my possessions? Maybe some of it, I can help someone in need. I can pass on to a ministry. So honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit. Would you say the first fruit? Of your increase. Because see, when we give to the Lord first, it shows that he is our source and we trust him to give the increase. I'd rather have whatever God enables me to keep with his blessing and give him first than have it all to myself and not have his blessing and not have his wisdom. So then he says that he gives the increase, verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And then two verses in chapter 11, and then a scripture in the New Testament, and that's it. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. And I love verse 25. The generous soul will be made rich. Notice it's our soul. See what I'm saying? It's not just money. It's being, the generous soul, he says, will be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. That's a great promise and a great scripture that God gives the increase. And that's why I said God enriches a generous soul. I might not have anything, but I can have a generous soul. I've noticed this. If we love, we give. Think about a child. As a matter of fact, one of the children made some notes that he passed on to me last week. I don't know how old she is. I'll say it that way. But she had a little, like a cross and all in. That one picture said, I love church. And then another one, it was just like on a little notepad that had from last week's message, look, listen, live, learn. I said, man, that's a blessing that a child wrote those notes and wanted to pass them on to me. Because see, that's an expression of love. A child may not have anything, but they've loved you and it's nice outside. They may hand you a dandelion and it blow all to pieces, but it's an expression of their love. They hand you a buttercup. So someone said that we can give without loving, but we can't love without giving. Again, it's not the money with God. He's not hurting. It's our heart and having a generous soul. And then I'll close with this. Because whatever God entrusts to us, he wants us. In fact, would you join me in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6, the last scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6. God wants us to enjoy his blessings. If you're a parent, or you don't have to even be a parent, anyone who you're just close to someone, if you give them something, you want them to enjoy it, right? To be blessed by it. And that's the way God is with us. The scripture says this, 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy his blessings. He wants to use them, wants us to use them for his glory and wisely. He just doesn't want us to trust in his blessings. He wants us to trust him. That's why he says in verse 18, let them do good and be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the life to come that they may lay hold of eternal life. Let me close with this. Two questions. Let's examine our hearts. Maybe I'll just make it one question. How about this? Just between you and the Lord now. If maybe one area of the message this morning has just spoken to your heart to reevaluate your own passion and priorities. If God really is not first place and you have started to put your affection maybe on things rather than him, would you just make that right even now to say, God, you're first place in my life. You're first place in my heart and priorities. I can go without some stuff, but I can't go without you. To make God first place. And then would you ask him for wisdom and how to live this out? I believe he can help us. However much or little we have, whatever our financial state, I believe his wisdom will help us manage it wisely, prepare, and to be used as a testimony for the glory of God. So can we stand together? And I just want to lead us in a closing prayer, and we're going to sing this hymn, "All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give." Father, we come before you right now and just ask you to search our hearts. Lord, help us to always remember, it's not about money, it's about you and our heart. We just want to use it as a resource. You're our source. We just want to use it wisely. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you have a financial need, you can write it and we can see what we can do to help you. I want you to know that, okay? We're here for you. But I would like to pray for you just now. So again, if no one looking around, but if you just say, "Brother Rocky, pray for me. I need some wisdom in this area," and whatever it is, that's between you and the Lord. But if you want prayer today, would you just raise your hand right there where you are? You don't need to move. Just slip your hand up. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Father, you're the God of increase. And I ask, Lord, even now, that wisdom is coming. You said to seek wisdom like a treasure. So we seek you together right now. I want to join my faith with theirs. And we ask you for wisdom from on high, Lord, to take. You can multiply loaves and fish. You can multiply our paychecks. You can multiply a Social Security check, a retirement check. So, Lord, I pray that you would give the increase first in wisdom, and then I pray that you would even bless with increase financially to not only meet a need, but to glorify you. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.